You're listening to the Orlando Magic Podcast, hosted by Stephen Garlick and Andy Harrington. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm, of course, Philip Frostman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily, the site editor and expert over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. And I am joined today by two special guests, more members of the podcast game. I'm joined by Stephen Garlick and Andy Harrington of the Orlando Magic Podcast. Welcome to the club, guys. How you liking the podcast game?
We like it. We like it. We really like it. We're enjoying it. We're about 9 episodes in to our podcast, and
dipping your toes in the water there.
Exactly, and we're loving it. We love it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, just like how our podcast ends, we're just two guys having a good time. So hopefully, it comes off that way, and it's a lot of fun. The Magic are headed in the right direction, so it's always a good conversation.
Yeah, we'll get into a little bit of that in just a moment. Just kind of recapping the summer, of course. Our listeners on Locked On Magic and your listeners over at the Orlando Magic Daily, or not the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast, at the Orlando Magic Podcast, requested the show, this mashup of the show, and so we're going to give it a try here as things are happening with the Orlando Magic. And while we're going to get into the summer at large and the direction that the Magic are going in, I guess the first place we got to start with is the breaking news of the day. If I had drops, this is where I would add one. But the Orlando Magic are reportedly set to sign an old friend of ours, Aaron Aflalo, to a one-year contract. Aaron Aflalo played for the Sacramento Kings last year, had a decent season. What is your overall reaction, guys, to the signing?
I was very confused right when I first heard it. I was like, am I blinking here? Did I just go back a few years? I was, you know, at first I was confused, but then I was like, okay, it's a shooter, at least some guy that can shoot over 40%. And so I was like, okay, I understand, veteran minimum guy, coming off the bench kind of to, guide the young guys. So I'm like, I'm okay with it. It's fine.
And the other thing I liked about it is they said they were going to be adding shooting, and they did. So that was really nice. I do think it's a slight awkward fit, and we can definitely get into that when we get into our offseason thing. But I do think it's a good contract and a good player, good locker room presence. So I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, and certainly the Magic need guys like Aaron Aflalo. He's now, I believe he is now officially the oldest player, once he signed, actually. He'll be the oldest player on the roster. He's 31 years old, averaged 8.4 points per game, so his scoring has dropped a lot since his time with the Magic. 44% field goal percentage, actually took the majority of his shots from beyond the arc last year, or a good chunk of his shots from beyond the arc, and shot 41.1%. So he started to kind of find a niche now in the latter half of his career as just a floor spacer and shooter, which was something that the Magic didn't ask him to do. I think when Magic fans first heard of the signing, they were thinking of Aaron Aflalo, the Magic version of Aaron Aflalo, where they asked him to be a big creator and be a big driver and be the primary scoring option. Now I think his role is going to be very, very different, where he's mostly just taking threes, and like you guys said, that's something the Magic needed, especially after losing Jody Meeks.
Exactly. I think he kind of just fills that role that Jody Meeks kind of left us. He'll kind of come in probably behind Fournier, which is kind of funny because he was traded for Fournier by Rob Hennigan, and so he'll kind of just, you know, kind of fill that veteran role, which I think we kind of thought either Simmons or Hezonja might fill that backup shooter role, guard, you know, role. But I think Aflalo will do very nicely. I think, I think he's a great replacement for Meeks, and kind of, you know, similar player even to Meeks. And so, you know, I have no problem with the signing. Love Aaron Aflalo. Hopefully he'll pass the ball a little bit more than he used to. But, you know.
Yeah, it obviously just not the same guy. Magic needed a player like this, and I agree. I think that this is a good signing. But I think this gets into kind of a bigger issue, and you know, we'll dive into the offseason and where the Magic are going in a little bit as we talk a little bit about the Orlando Magic. Now that it seems like the offseason's coming to a bit of a close, Magic roster's now at 16 with the Awundu signing, as well as the rumored signings of Aflalo and Maurice Spates. But the Magic have this weird logjam now at on the wings. Do you guys expect? I mean, it seems like we all expect that Aflalo is going to be the backup guy. Who kind of gets left out of the mix here now?
I think, you know, right off the bat, I'm looking at Mario Hezonja. I mean, I think that's the guy who really gets left out in this. I mean, for a guy who's been, you know, hasn't really lived quite up to the hype that he was drafted with, I think he's the one who's definitely now in a prove-it year and definitely has to come out, you know, really in training camp. You're going to know who Mario Hezonja is in training camp because he now knows there's competition. I think that's one good thing that the Magic have done here this offseason is they've created inter-squad competition. When I, you know, used to coach high school basketball, we used to do that all the time. You know, you got to get quality people, you know, scrimmaging these guys in practice, training camp, getting them, you know, those reps that they're going to need to improve. And I think that's exactly what the Magic have done this offseason with every single one of their signings.
Yeah, totally agree. I think Aflalo will take a lot of Hezonja's minutes. The thing is with Hezonja is we know Frank Vogel liked to use him at the four last year a little bit. And so, you know, I wonder if that will continue. You know, I know that Isaac is now there, who's going to be taking those minutes from Hezonja as well. So I really think it leaves Hezonja in a tight position. And I think he's really, really going to have to prove himself in practice. And I just don't think he will, because I don't think he's a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, but it definitely feels like Hezonja is the odd man out, which sucks because he's the fifth overall pick, as everyone likes to remind us.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah. But, you know, you earn your playing time in this league. It's not given to you, and, you know, no one cares where you were drafted. They care what you can produce on the floor, and that certainly hasn't been much certainly not last year. He didn't take the step up that he needed. Looking at the Magic step chart, you're probably going Fournier, Ross, Simmons, and Aflalo as your four wing players. Marcus Georges Hunt, Wesley Iwundu, Mario Hezonja are kind of on the outside looking in there. Jonathan Isaac's hanging around. He could probably play some three. Patricio Guarino's a non-guaranteed deal, although it's looking more and more like he's going to be definitely the odd man out on the roster. It's definitely a much deeper team this year than it was last year. And so, you know, now that we've kind of dealt with the Aaron Aflalo news, it's probably good to take another step back and take a look at the summer as a whole. You know, you guys just started up your podcast, obviously, but how did you feel about the Magic situation or what they needed to do entering this offseason? Not so much looking at what they've done, but what did you feel like the Magic had to accomplish with this new management group as they took over?
Yeah, in our podcast, I'm a unbiased, you know, person to the Orlando Magic. You know, I grew up a Utah Jazz fan, so I kind of look at it as a whole and kind of an outside-in kind of approach to the Orlando Magic. And going into this offseason, I really wanted them to, you know, create cap room and definitely see a lot more movement than we saw this offseason. That was my goal. I wanted a mix-up. I wanted us to go out and get, you know, talent, kind of create a culture and a team with direction. I think that's the best way to sum up how I saw this offseason going, is I wanted a clear direction and culture of this team. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I really wanted, was just a direction, because the end of last year, you kind of were left with a sour taste in your mouth going like, I don't really know where this team's headed. I don't know what pieces work. I don't know where we're going, if we're going into a full-on rebuild or if we just need a couple of trades to get us over the hump. I don't, you know, that's what my...
And that's kind of what I wanted mainly, was to fix the pieces on the current roster, to try to mix it up a little bit, to see if we can't make what we have already, keep most of the core intact and shuffle some of the starting lineup around, so, you know, we can fit this team into today's NBA a little bit better. And while we haven't really done that necessarily, we have strengthened something on the Magic, which was a huge weakness of theirs, which was the bench and a veteran presence, a strong veteran presence that can play and kind of lead and be hard-nosed. And so while I you know, in some instances, I'm not happy with the offseason. And on the other side, you know, I'm satisfied with what, you know, what we did with what we had.
Yeah, obviously, team was kind of cash strapped. They didn't have a lot of cap room. It was what, $12 to $15 million of room or something right. like that. So they weren't going to be able to go out in free agency and get a star. But I think the main thing that everyone wanted to see was explore the possibilities to shake up the starting lineup if you can. But find value players to improve the bench, and just set a clearer direction. Just identify players that fit the culture you want. Don't tie up any more long term money, but find a clearer direction forward. Find ways to emphasize the players that are going to be part of this team's future, and that would be the player you're drafting at six. As well as probably, I would put Aaron Gordon in that basket at the beginning of the summer. I would still put him in that basket because I'm still pretty high on Aaron Gordon. But other than that, everyone else has to prove to new management next year what they can do. You know, we talked a little bit about this before we came on the air. I was a little bit skeptical about how the Magic finished. There were certainly some positive signs, but plenty of negative signs too. I'm curious what you guys thought about how the Magic finished the season after the All-Star break. Was that something you felt Orlando could build off of if they came back with a lot of the same people intact?
I think aesthetically, I think you could just see visually that the team was playing quicker. There was more ball movement. I think there was more of a running game involved, and just it looked better. And it was more enjoyable to watch after the All-Star break. However, it didn't translate to wins, so it's kind of concerning. When that doesn't translate, and that's why I thought there needed to be a shakeup still. Adding more shooting. Changing the way we played offense a little bit, and I think there's definitely a start to it. However, I don't know if I trust that starting lineup going forward, and that kind of core bunch that we kind of played together. I don't know if I entirely trust that.
Yeah, I mean, I just left the season just going into last year. My thoughts on this team were pretty optimistic, and I just left the team feeling disappointed. Like, I felt like that, especially the second half. Yes, we did, play with a little bit more fight in a sense, but like Andy just said, didn't translate to wins. And I don't really know if we learned too much about who this team is. I don't know if we figured out people's roles. And unfortunately, that's a lost NBA season in my sense, because I think, that's a time where you should have given more minutes to younger guys, figured out who they were. It would have just been a little bit more interesting, and I just thought there would be a lot more of a mix up going into this offseason, and I haven't quite seen that yet.
Yeah, and obviously the Magic were kind of hamstrung by their cap situation and the amount of money that they had, and so it's still it wasn't going to all happen in one summer.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people wanted like dramatic change in one offseason, especially with a new general manager. A new management group, it wasn't all going to happen. And so, with what the Magic had, they add Jonathan Simmons, they add Shelvin Mack, they draft Jonathan Isaac, they've added Aaron Aflalo, Maurice Bates probably too. How would you evaluate this summer then? How does this all fit into what you envision for this team?
Look, I think we did with what we have. With what Weltman and Hammond had to work with, we did a great job, I thought. I think they did what they needed to do. They got their guys, and they did it while being patient, which is, I think, is going to have to Magic fans are going to have to realize that these guys are smart and they know what they're doing. They're going to be patient. And I think that goes for the trade market as well. And so I was kind of going into it expecting them to shuffle up the deck and to start wheeling and dealing. But I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to wait for the right trade to come along. They're going to wait for the right moment. They know when to strike. These guys have tons of experience in the NBA. And so I think come trade deadline, we might see more wheeling and dealing. So I think it's just kind of it's hard as a Magic fan to kind of sit back and realize that and just to kind of take a beat. But I trust these guys. They've made great moves so far. So we just got to wait and see, kind of sit and evaluate, as they say, and you know, let them do that and wait for the trade market to kind of open up.
Yeah, I think the other thing about new management is they're the complete opposite of Hennigan, like drastic difference, because I felt like at times Rob Hennigan would make trades because it almost felt like he was being pressured. I don't quite know where that pressure was coming from, whether that was him or, you know, ownership or whoever.
There was definitely ownership pressure to win. I mean, Frank Vogel walked a center. I mean, like, sure. It's still jarring in my mind. Frank Vogel walked a center court during the open practice in October and said, "Are you ready for the playoffs?" I mean, there was no getting around what this team thought they were going to do last year.
And those were the expectations, you know, like I went in there, you know, as a, you know, not just a Magic fan. Those were the expectations for me. And so you can kind of get that vibe around the league. Like, that's kind of where I saw you guys. And then it didn't quite work out that way. And so when Rob Hennigan was replaced, I think what we've seen is a guy who's got experience, John Hammond, Jeff Weltman, and they're taking their time. They're going after the people they like, and they're going to build it. Then, with that being said, I do think, you know, it's going to be nice to have a rebuild done by people who are experienced and know what they're doing and have a clear direction and culture idea in their head, and letting them just, you know, put that into action, getting the guys they want in here, drafting the guys they want, and just taking their time. That's the biggest thing that I think the Magic, you know, organization needs, is a little bit more time, which is tough for fans because, you know, how long have we been giving them time to figure this out?
How long? I mean, it's probably not the right question, but like, what would it take for the Magic to get on that right track this year? This will probably get into a larger debate that we want to talk about more toward the end of the show. While now we're kind of focusing on the summer itself, but what would it take for this upcoming season to be a success, knowing what we know about this team and knowing the direction that the Magic want to go?
I mean, to be a success in my eyes, I mean, if I had to put a grade on this offseason thus far, I would still give them like a B+, mm-hmm. because which I deem successful. You know, I think what they've done has been successful thus far, but to put the cherry on top, I think you would really want to see them bring in their guys, to maybe shed some contracts and to get prepared for next offseason, and to maybe bring in a new point guard to maybe clear out Vucevic. I think that's what at least fans are kind of clamoring for, is a new point guard. And I think that we saw that with Dennis Smith Jr. Love. And, you know, I just think Elfrid Payton's time has come. And so I really think if we wanted to make this offseason a success, we have a new point guard by the beginning of training camp. That's just my opinion. But I mean, as a fan, that's kind of what I want to see, even though I love Elfrid Payton. But I just think we need a new direction.
And you're talking about for the whole season next year, what I would call it a success, correct?
Sure, sure. Take it however you want to take it. I mean,
because for me, on the outside looking in, I'm looking at the Magic, and I want them to create an atmosphere this season of giving guys minutes, letting them showcase their skills, and then creating a trade environment, you know, moving pieces around, getting rid of some cap, getting more and more flexible so Hammond and Weltman can do more of their magic that they want to do with this team. Nice pun there. And then really work with what they want to do, because they're going to want to, you know, have that flexibility to go after those free agents. And I think, you know, come trade deadline, a success for me is if the Magic are the most active team, because that means they've created assets and they've been able to move a lot of the pieces that I almost feel like they couldn't move this offseason. So that would be a huge success for me. And it'd be going into next summer with a clear direction of flexibility. And they could either, one, draft the guy they want or go sign the player they want to build around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those are both really good points and good directions for this for the how to judge success. I don't think success for this team is going to be based off of wins and losses. This is still a flawed roster in a lot of ways. And while the East is certainly not as good as it was, especially at the bottom, especially at kind of the bottom middle range of the playoffs, in that like 8 through 12 range, maybe I think judging the season on wins and losses is too short term. I mean, adding Aflalo, adding Spates on 1 year deals are short term moves. They're to shore up the team so that they're at least respectable. I think that, and we'll get into this issue, I think in a little bit. It's to make sure that the team can compete and have a chance to win games. But I think at the same time, what the Magic are looking to accomplish this season, learn a little bit more about what they have. Give their players a chance to up their value and begin forming the team that they want to form. And I think what the offseason moves that matter show, and that's the guys who are signed to multi-year deals, are the type of players that Jeff Weltman's looking for. Jonathan Isaac, Wesley Iwundu, Jonathan Simmons share very similar traits and share very similar, identities about them that I think speak to something larger about who this team wants to be. They want versatile defenders. They want guys who can get out and run and be athletic and switch and all the things that seemingly modern defenses have to have. And they're going to fill in the other offensive pieces later. But I think what the Magic wanted to do was really begin to put down the roots of their culture. And I think as far as that goes, with the major signings and the major acquisitions they made, they accomplished that goal. I don't know how you guys feel about it from that perspective, but that's kind of where I sit with this.
Yeah, I think they've accomplished most of what they set out to do this offseason. And I agree with Steve and with you guys that for the season to really be successful, I really do think it's about growing our culture, developing assets and keep, bringing in those guys that Weltman and Hammond love and kind of want to build this team around. And I think if they do that this season, it will be a success no matter the wins or losses that we have. And because I kind of think a lot of Magic fans kind of, with bringing in new management, that this kind of is a wash season. And so some fans may say, okay, if it's a wash, why not just rebuild and blow it up? But then the argument is that, you're destroying your culture by doing that. And you can see both sides to that story. But I honestly think if we keep building the way Weltman and Hammond are doing at this point, I think this season will be a success. I like the way that they're going.
Yeah, before we not to cut you off there, but before we get into kind of those before we get too deep into the big picture issues, let's talk a little bit about the guys that the Magic added that are gonna be more long term pieces. Obviously, we talked about the breaking news today, Jonathan Simmons, what are your impressions of him? I heard your podcast about him, but briefly describe what you thought about his signing and what he means for the Magic.
I just love his story. I mean, talk about a guy who goes out and gets what he wants. I mean, that's just the story of Jonathan Simmons. And he's, to me, he's the guy who's going to bring that leadership, that quality. And I think that's definitely a culture guy for what they were looking for. And I think he's going to be that guy in training camp practice. I'll be curious to hear kind of what he's like at practice, but I think he's going to be the one who, there's always those few players in this league who really make their team better in practice. And I feel like Jonathan Simmons is that guy. And I think he will definitely be a fan favorite with his style of play. I just love everything about Jonathan Simmons, and I think he's going to bring a lot to this team. I don't know if, you know, he's a clear-cut starter or anything like that, but I do think, you know, he's going to bring a lot to this team, you know, whether that's, you know, off the court or on the court. He's just a good, solid player.
Right, and I don't think the Magic have had a guy like Simmons this entire rebuild.
Yeah.
I don't think since maybe like Jason Maxseal, like have they had like a guy.
I don't
like
know if Jason Maxseal is quite like Jonathan Simmons, guys.
No, he's the exact, come on, Phil, he's the exact same player.
Okay.
No,
I'll take your word for it.
he's that hard nosed guy that just goes at everyone. And I think that the Magic have just been missing that gritty, hard nosed guy. Especially off the court, on the court, someone that, you know, that just kind of fights for the other guys. And I think that's something that they've been searching for as well, is a guy that makes other people better and plays for his team. And I think that's Jonathan Simmons in a nutshell. And, I love his game. I think his shooting is a little undervalued. I think he can be a better shooter. He's proven that in the past. And so, I loved the signing. I loved the contract.
The contract's a bargain. I mean, like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know how you turn, if he's willing to sign that contract, like, I don't know how you turn that down. Cause I had a lot of people on my staff and a lot of Magic fans say, do you think the Magic will go after Jonathan Simmons? And I was like, I don't think the Magic can afford him. I don't think the Magic have enough money to get him. Yeah. I have no clue how that happened.
I think we had somebody on Twitter, I forgot who it was right when we signed Jonathan Simmons. He was like, "Oh, that's ironic. I was just listening to your guys' podcast where you were talking about how we didn't have enough money to sign him." And I was like, "Well, I guess I was wrong. I didn't think we'd get that kind of steal."
Yeah, so. I mean, that was just a fantastic contract, and that's one recurring thing you've seen from management is they're just really good at writing contracts and getting them signed. So, I mean, that Simmons is just a great bargain all the way around.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. I think he's a culture. He's a guy who can set a culture. He's someone who, just kind of – I feel like the Magic the last 5 years has missed a guy. I've actually talked about this with a few other writers in the media room. They've kind of missed a guy who – is going to flip over a table at halftime when the team's trailing or not playing well and just say, we are not losing this game. And then, and then not only say that, but then do something about it in the game.
Exactly.
And, like, Simmons is that guy. Simmons can be that guy.
Right. Right. I think sometimes you see like Evan Fournier kind of going at guys a little bit, and trying to do that a little bit and trying to lead and show that, but it just doesn't translate in the game sometimes. And I think Simmons is a guy that's just gonna take over sometimes and just say, oh, I'm gonna do it, just get out of my way and just bulldoze people. I think he's exactly the type of culture guy that the Magic need. Mm-hmm. And I mean his contract when it first came out, I was like, okay, I heard 3-year 20, was kind of the rumored deal coming out. And then it came out as 3-year 18. I was like, even better. And then I heard it was only $1 million guaranteed on the third year. And I was like, okay, I'm done. That's the best contract of the offseason. So,
yeah. That was awesome. No, go ahead.
No, it was. It's just that I don't think we've had that. Maybe it's just the market what deemed that contract, but. I mean, we haven't had that kind of contract signing the entire time we've had Rob Hennigan. I just don't think we have that.
Yeah, I mean, it always seemed like Hennigan had to overpay for players,
right?
To get the guys that he wanted, whether it was Channing Frye signing a 4-year, $32 million contract, or Tobias Harris, they got on a little bit of a bargain because they decided or. With Tobias Harris, he got a max offer sheet from the Kings, I think it was. And so,
right.
So that probably, that was definitely a bargain in that sense because of the market. But every free agent that Hennigan signed, he seemed to have to overpay to get to come here. And it was definitely different in that sitting here now, Weltman waited for the market to develop and found bargains out on the market, which was really good. I mean, even Shelvin Mack to some extent, $6 million feels like an overpay, but it's a 2-year deal and only $1 million is guaranteed next year. So it doesn't hurt the team very much.
Right. I know. And you know, I think
I've got a slightly different take on Shelvin Mack.
Ooh,
but
let's hear it.
Yeah, we got a Jazz fan here to kind of explain this.
So I've been wanting to talk to a Jazz person about Shelvin Mack and get the lowdown on him, because his shooting numbers don't look great, but it just feels like he does intangible things. I guess I don't know. Like I haven't been completely sold on him. I think he's better than DJ Augustin, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, really, so as a Jazz fan, our system's a little bit different than most in the way we played. You know, Gordon Hayward was essentially the point guard in Utah for the last few years in their offense. But with Shelvin Mack, what you get is you get a guy who's calm, who's collected for the most part in the point guard position, which is very nice to have a stable person running the point guard. The only criticism I had, and maybe it was the system, but when it got into like late shot clock situations, I felt like his shot selection was a little off, as well as just, you know, sometimes he tried to do a little too much. And I'm going to be interested to see how he fits within this offense. Granted, he's going to be coming off the bench behind Elfrid Payton. And I do think his calm nature as a point guard hopefully does rub off on Elfrid Payton, because I think that's just a good quality to have at the point. But To me, I was shocked. That was the only contract this offseason that I kind of head scratched a little bit. I think a slight overpay there to get Shelvin Mack, especially with the guys out there. But then, to remind everyone, this is a culture guy. He was a great teammate in Utah. Everybody loved Shelvin Mack. He's great within the community. I understand why they went after him from that aspect. So I'm just curious to see how he's going to fit in the Magic system, how Frank Vogel is going to use him. But you're getting a calm, capable point guard who just, I feel like you just have to know who he is as a point guard and put him in the right places to succeed.
Yeah, and it seems like that's the word on him, that he just kind of makes everything work. He doesn't stand out on his own, but he just kind of gets everyone going in the right direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, heaven knows the Magic need somebody like that too. So
yeah,
it's coming off the bench.
Yeah, and I think
Augustin was so inconsistent last year that it drove people crazy. I mean, it drove me crazy.
And I think DJ Augustin doesn't fit the way the Magic play anymore. I think he fit when they had Serge Ibaka and Bismack Biyombo and Nikola Vucevic, and they were trying to slow things down. When they picked up the pace, I think he really struggled picking up the pace.
Right, and his shooting was down last year as well. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how the rotation goes, the backup point guard, to see if DJ still gets time. You know, I think Aaron Aflalo now will, you know, even take up, if they decide to put DJ on the floor at the two, that now Aaron Aflalo probably will take those minutes away too. So,
and the nice thing about Shelvin Mack is he's coming from a system that I don't know exactly where the Jazz are ranked, but we are one of the slowest teams. So getting him into this system, I'm curious, because I think he's definitely going to thrive better in Orlando. So I that's the one positive note on Shelvin Mack for Magic fans, is I do think he's going to fit in better here in Orlando than he did in Utah.
Well, that's interesting, because I think we heard the same thing kind of about Jonathan Simmons, and how he kind of stated that he didn't think he fit in with San Antonio's system. He thought he'd fit in better with kind of a run and gun kind of system. So to hear that kind of about Mac and Simmons, kind of the same,
maybe an idea
system change.
And I mean, obviously San Antonio, they play at a fast pace, but they have a very structured system. I think the Magic are going to be a lot more freewheeling. The way I envision this Magic team playing is they get stops on defense. They get out in transition. If they can't get a fast break point, they flow into a secondary transition play or secondary break play. And just kind of flow into their offense off of transition and off of running. They're not a team that's going to want to bring the ball up the floor slowly, very, very often. Just by looking at their players, they got to catch defenses on the move before they can get set.
Right. Exactly. And so, I think this it's going to be a good change for both of these players, for all of the players that the Magic are bringing in. I think the culture change along with a system change is good, especially for a Simmons. I think he's going to really thrive in the Magic system. You know, as long as Frank Vogel keeps up what they did after the All-Star break last year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see their rotations too, because I think, you know, you see that debate, do we keep the same starting lineup as last year? You know, where do these veterans actually fit in on this team? That's what I'm most excited to figure out, is really see where these culture guys sit on this roster and how that's going to influence the depth chart.
Yeah, and I think Frank Vogel has a lot of options now. I mean, we talked a little bit about it at the beginning when we talked about Aaron Aflalo. But, you know, Marcus Georges Hunt played fantastic at Summer League. He's someone that was here toward the end of the season. He's put in a lot of work with the Magic over the offseason. You've got Mario Hezonja, who's whatever Mario Hezonja is supposed to be. Wesley Iwundu, a guy that they drafted with a second-round pick, who I imagine is going to end up playing a lot in Lakeland this year, even though he's under contract and guaranteed for the season. I imagine he's going to end up playing a lot in Lakeland, but he'll get his time on the roster. I think we'll see a few games where he actually plays. And then, you know, you got, you know, Garino still around, Simmons, you know, you got a lot of options at the wing position. You now even have a lot of options at the four and the five with Gordon, Isaac, Vucevic, Biombo, and Spates. And maybe even Keem Birch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. Is that even a thing still? Is Birch still?
Who knows? There's like no like reporting. Like I heard from some people that the Magic were helping him with his buyout. But now that things have developed the way they've developed this summer, I don't see how he's here.
Right, because if we're helping him with a buyout, that probably indicates that we're going to give him guaranteed money, right? I mean, if we're helping him with a buyout,
yeah,
I mean,
you'd think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like just... and like at Olympiacos, he was getting paid like $3 million a year. So,
right. I mean, I know there is an incentive to come to the NBA, but $3 million is $3 million. I mean, I don't know if we don't have that kind of money to throw at him. I don't know if we would, but
cash money.
I mean, how many guaranteed contracts do we have so far? 15?
The Magic are currently at, I believe, 14 guaranteed contracts. Oh, no. 13? I don't even know anymore. I've lost count. There aren't a lot. They're the roster's full. Their roster's full.
Right. So, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if he would, I don't think he would leave $3 million to come for a two-way contract. No.
Yeah, with Spates coming, I think that one's dead. I think it's just a matter of time before they announce it.
So I think that gets into another big question that a lot of fans have. You know, why are the Magic going after these veteran guys when it still feels like the Magic are kind of rebuilding? Why are they chasing after a Spates or an Aflalo when they could roll with the Marcus Georges Hunt or play a Wundu or roll with, you know, a young guy like Birch instead?
Yeah. No,
do you agree with what they're doing?
I'm excited on this one. So to me, that was a head scratcher to me.
Shout out to Derek Walton Jr.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm happy he got his contract with Miami.
Right.
Of course to Miami. But no, really, that was my head scratcher, because I'm looking at this next season. I'm going, is our goal really the eighth seed? Because, you know, history shows that's pretty much, hey, you know, you play four games, you get a participation trophy, and you go home. I would, in my mind, with this roster, how, you know, you've got Aaron Gordon and his contract situation, same with Elfrid Payton on kind of a prove it year. I think, in my mind, I say go, embrace the rebuild. You know, give the young guys, Derek Walton Jr., you know, Georges Hunt, those kind of guys opportunities to be on this team, earn good minutes, and then trade them, create assets. You know, was it Malcolm Brogdon? You know, find those kind of stories, and then they turn into great trade bait. You know, so that's where I was kind of going with this, and I'm okay with the Magic not necessarily tanking, but just giving more minutes to these guys and really seeing what they have and getting answers to questions. Because with veterans, what happens is they're going to come in and take minutes away from these younger guys, and I don't really know how much you increase their value at that point. And these veteran deals, I mean, I haven't seen them get much back on a lot of them throughout last year. So I'm just curious at how that worked. I do think you created a more competitive team, but again, that's a head scratcher to me because I don't know why we want to be competitive, because I don't see this team being higher than an eighth seed.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think that these veterans that are coming in are actually going to take minutes from the young guys, or are we just bringing them in as locker room guys and culture fits?
I think the sad, honest truth is I think they're going to get minutes. And that's the sad part. That's what makes me a little, you know, upset about it, is because I would rather give those minutes to younger guys. And you know what? If you get a good draft pick, hey, guess who's drafting now? It's Hammond and Weltman. It's not Rob Hennigan. It's these guys know what they're doing and they know what they're building. So why not give them that opportunity and then let Aaron Gordon and Elfrid Payton decide their fate and go from there? That's kind of my view on this year, is that's where I really wanted to see him. And I think, you know, Isaac, with Spates now in the picture and a follow, I would just like to give the guy tons of minutes and just see what he turns into. I'm kind of that impatient with younger guys, but I know that kind of creates an entitlement culture. So you kind of have that balancing act of keeping it competitive, which I totally understand the vet stuff, but I just think they're really going to take minutes from the younger guys.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in your boat. Well, I think, you know, I'm excited that the Magic have brought in some veterans, because I actually think that the Magic let Aflalo go a year too soon. I felt like that team needed one of Aaron Aflalo or Jameer Nelson, and there were some issues. They both kind of checked out toward the end of their last season in Orlando, but I mean, who wouldn't with the way that those seasons were going? But I felt like they needed that veteran voice. So I'm happy that they've returned some veterans to that locker room and veterans to the rotation. I think that Hennigan was always right, although he poorly executed it. You need a mix of young guys and veterans in a locker room to kind of keep everyone going in the right direction, or keep everyone thinking the right things. But at the same time, I was excited to see them give Marcus Georges Hunt a shot. Especially the way he played in summer league. And, you know, I thought that, you know, who knows if it's still true, but adding Kim Birch made a lot of sense for that third center backup power forward role. Just a guy who's young, is ready to mix things up and can grow into something. A guy who had potential to grow into a rotation player. I agree. I would rather see those guys at the end of the roster. For a team that's still young and growing, I mean, this was never going to be a finished product this year. And I think the trap that the Magic could fall into, which I don't think they did, and I still don't think they did, but the trap you fall into with how the East is shaping up is you put too much eggs in trying to make the playoffs for just that one year, and you lose sight of what's important, and that's being a good team this year, next year, the year after, being sustainably good, rather than just good for a quick playoff appearance.
Yep, I totally agree with that. I think we, especially, you know, we missed the boat on the Derek Walton Jr. train.
Yeah, that's the same deal that I was thinking. Like, why bring in Shelvin Mack when Derek Walton Jr. showed what he could do?
Yeah, and he's the guy that you're like, okay, you know what Shelvin Mack is. You don't know what Derek Walton Jr. could be. You give him, you know, a 2 to 3 year contract, and all of a sudden in year two, you've built an asset that, you know, equals or is greater to, you know, greater than like an Elfrid Payton. Like, he could be that kind of guy. You just don't know. And so, I mean, I understand bringing in the veteran presence to kind of help mold those guys. But when they start taking minutes away, which they will, especially with Frank Vogel as the coach, you know, I think it could hurt the development of some of our young guys, and you won't be able to see Mario Hezonja take the floor as much. You won't be able to see a Kim Birch and Isaac flourish as much on the court. And I think the Magic have to be very careful with that.
And I guess this leads to the big question that everyone's wondering, and that is, should the Magic be going for the playoffs this year? Is making the playoffs a net positive for the team? And clearly by the signings that they made this week, or the reported signings that they made this week in Maurice Spates and Aaron Aflalo, it sure feels like the Magic are pushing some chips into the center of the table to try and make a move for the playoffs this year, or at the very least that Mario Hezonja isn't part of the long-term plan anymore, and the Magic are looking to try and build something with the players that they like that will win and put a winning product on the floor. Whether they do or not is another issue. But is this the right outcome, or is this the right move?
I say no, because I've seen it with, obviously, a team, the Jazz. They did it 1 year, and they got swept by San Antonio, and literally we fell back out of the playoffs the following year. I mean, I just think you can build a winning culture and not be in the playoffs, and I think that is those guys in the locker room that they just went out and got that kind of personality and attitude towards the game. So you've got a few pieces in there that definitely are what they're trying to build. I don't think they need the playoffs to, you know, create the road to success, you know, in the next, you know, 2 to 3 seasons that they're wanting to. So I think, you know, take a step back, and I think you've got to give Weltman and Hammond time. They need to figure out who Elfrid Payton and Aaron Gordon are, number one. I think that's the biggest thing going into the season I'm looking forward to. But that's the playoffs, I don't think, will change the course of the Magic, you know, this year. I think, if anything, I need answers on personnel and who we've got. And that goes all the way across the board. Head coach all the way down to, you know, the 15th person on this roster. I need to know who we have, what they can do, and create assets galore. And we need to make some movements definitely at the trade deadline and next offseason.
I agree with that. Okay, I agree with.
He's gonna say Kyrie Irving next.
No, oh, no, you don't want to see my replies when I told people I don't think the Magic should chase after Kyrie Irving.
Oh yeah, I've shattered a few dreams this week too. Myself,
yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah, let's all keep dreaming on that one. But no, I'm not talking about going after Kyrie Irving. But I have seen this team in the last 5 years fall into this pit of darkness, and it affects not only player development, but also the outside optics of the team, where now you have, you know, players like Kevin Durant, like, just trashing the Magic and, you know, on social media and whatnot. But the Magic have just become a joke in the NBA. And so I think there's something to that the Magic need to pull themselves out of this kind of hole and kind of give these players that they're developing a taste of winning.
Let me ask you this question though, because I think this is important. Would you rather make the playoffs this year and have a, you know, further back draft pick, or what if I told you if Weltman and Hammond have two, you know, let's say 2 seasons to really create the roster they want, and you would make the playoffs a lot more consistently or have a better shot at making the playoffs? You know, they're never guaranteed. I would rather go with the second option, right? Because this year, even if you make the playoffs, there's going to be so much movement next year that you are going to have to make that you don't know what kind of team you're going to be coming back with.
I agree with that. I agree with that as well. Look, if it were up to me, I probably would take that route, and I probably would take a step back and kind of see what I have, you know, not tank, but just kind of just let things happen. And, you know, if you don't make the playoffs, no big deal. But you kind of know what you have. But I'm not going to just go out and just tank the season and you know, and just kind of tear down everything that we, you know, we have or don't have. But you know, I don't think that the team is going to take that route.
Well, with the guys we've signed, I don't think you're going to tank. I don't think you can.
No.
I mean, they're pretty decent. So I think it's going to be a really hard thing to do in the East. So it's going to be really – it's the most unique team in the NBA, in my opinion. I don't really know the direction this team's going, and it's really just – you can take it 50 different ways, and that's what's really unique about the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I think those are both really interesting takes, because I think the Magic are kind of in this weird situation where the results to this season don't really matter. I would say that it sounds like for everyone, it's a momentum is the next day's pitcher issue.
Yeah.
If the team makes the playoffs, let's say the team makes the playoffs this year, that result by itself does not matter if the team does not then make the playoffs the next year in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the question then is how well positioned are the Magic to make multiple playoff appearances? And that's actually not a question I've thought about very much. I've just kind of been focusing very micro on the 2018 season, because I mean, my belief until now, I guess, is the Magic are kind of in this spot where the results of the season doesn't matter to them. I'm not out here telling fans not to buy tickets or not to do anything else, you know, or not to follow or watch this team. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but this season is about setting up next season and then probably even 2020. It is kind of a 2 or 3 year plan. And so what the Magic learned this season will be important to what they do in the coming couple of years. And so if you're Jeff Weltman, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I've put together a pretty decent roster. You know, we got some pieces that we don't really know about that the coaching staff likes or thinks can develop into something. We've added a bench that we feel is a lot deeper. If this thing all comes together and looks really good, then, and we make the playoffs, that's fantastic. Fans are happy. They get to go to a playoff game. Our players get to experience experience meaningful games in March and April. We get all of the benefits of making the playoffs, of having that experience in our back pocket, and it benefits our players. Winning, I think, is always a good thing. I never think winning is bad.
Right.
You know, I can't think it's a bad thing. Sorry, tankers. At least late season tankers.
Yeah.
But if, let's say the Magic struggle again, let's say the pieces don't fit, I think this Magic team's still going to have a huge issue on offense. There are still no primary scorers. There's still not a lot of shooting, even after adding Aaron Aflalo. I think there are still some major issues with this group.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's say it falls apart again, that the team is not any better, that they miss the playoffs and that they struggle again. Well, that's not so bad either. You learn a little bit. You learn A, that it doesn't work, and that now you lose another year off of everyone's contract, so now you can start moving guys around. And then you can get a high draft pick, and then you can maybe move some pieces around or decide, you know, we're not going to keep Aaron Gordon, we're going to move on to the next thing, or, you know, we're not going to keep Elfrid Payton, or this, that, or the other thing. You'll know a lot of that by February. And so the trade deadline is going to be really important for the Magic this year. I think you guys previewed that a little bit, that the trade market's going to really open up for this team in February, and that we expect the Magic to be very active. It almost I don't want to compare this team to the Hart and Hustle team, but this season feels very much like that season in some ways. Where, I mean, that season they kind of shipped everyone out and just got a lot of expiring contracts to try and go after some free agents. But it feels somewhat like that season in that everyone seems like they're fair game. That the only players that they're really keeping are going to be Isaac and Simmons and maybe Gordon, depending on how he plays. And so it kind of just feels like the overall result of this season is not what's important. It's what it sets up next season that matters. And so if you make the playoffs, you better be in a position to make it again, to continue that growth, to continue that upward trajectory. Because really throughout this whole rebuild, my big thing was value progress. Going from 20 to 23 to 25 to 35 wins, it wasn't as fast as everyone wanted, but it was still going forward in the right direction. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you're still improving every year. And I thought that 35-win season. There were problems. There were clear problems with the team, but it was still a good season. It was the season I expected. And I thought that the Magic did not value that progress because they kind of pushed all their chips in and said, you know, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, we're just going to ship them off and hope this new thing works. It was such a different team.
Right, and it was the whole cutting corners thing.
Yeah.
I think you know, Hennigan warned about that, you know, early on in his tenure was...
He did, actually. Good call.
Yeah, and he's saying... he did, and then he did it. And so he cut corners, and he traded Tobias Harris, and then he pushed in, Oladipo, and traded him for Ibaka. And so that's cutting corners. And
he didn't win either of those trades, by the way. Like, I, as an unbiased fan, I looked at those trades going like, what the hell is going on? Like, that's just the reaction I had, because that didn't make any sense to me. Anything that they were trying to do, I did not get the Serge Ibaka excitement. I did not get any of that. That was just mind-blowing. Brandon Jennings, Ersan Ilyasova. It was all just kind of like, what is going on with
Orlando? I mean, a lot of people argued that adding those two players in the Tobias Harris trade was adding veterans. I was telling everyone, it's a salary dump. They dumped Tobias Harris's salary. What the Magic traded for was essentially Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah, exactly. And that didn't even make sense. I mean, a lot of it, you're just like head scratching the entire time, especially I think one thing we learned from that is, you know, don't overvalue somebody who has a good playoff run. And I think they did that with Jonathan Simmons. You know, he had a great run with the Spurs, and I felt like they were patient and let the market dictate the value. And then they pounced on him and got a great contract. So it was just interesting, you know, to see kind of all of that movement not work out. And like you were saying, though, I do think the Magic are in a very unique spot where they can – it's nice because they've got some pieces and they can really go a few different ways, and they're really not painted into a corner quite yet. But they do need to find an identity and a face of this franchise. That's the thing that I guess bothers me the most about the last few years is I can't even, you know – you. Tell me who their best player is. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't really know. Like, you know, I want it to be Aaron Gordon, but I still can't fully latch on to that idea quite yet.
Yeah, he still has to prove who he is in this league. And I think a lot of these guys have to prove who they are in this league to stick with the Magic as they're currently constructed.
Yeah, I think on our podcast, we kind of emphasize the prove it deals that like. And so I think what this is for the Magic is
a prove it year.
It's a prove it year. Ooh. It really is. And so I think for everybody on this team, you better prove it. You better bring it, or else. I mean, you just don't know.
Should be our new hashtag between both our podcasts, by the way. Hashtag prove it.
Hashtag prove it. Yeah. No, I think you're onto something there. I think you're definitely onto something there, especially because when you have a new boss, you have to prove it.
Exactly.
That's essentially what happened this year.
Alfred Payton and Gordon are on the hot seat. I mean, this is the biggest year of their life in basketball.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that's a good place to leave it off. You leave them wanting a little bit more with the cliffhanger talking about who's going to prove it and what's going to happen. We'll definitely have to get back together a little bit closer to the season, talk a little bit more realistically about the season rather than big picture stuff. But let everyone know where they can find the Orlando Magic podcast.
Yeah, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those Google Play, all those fun places. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Orlando Magic PC. And you can follow us on our personal accounts as well. I'm at Andy R. Harrington.
And I'm at @ST_garlic, GARLICK. And we're definitely active on there. We love your stuff that you put out there as well. So, yeah, we just want the Magic to get better. And I think that's the driving force of both of our podcasts. So it's all good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely. I'll definitely check out their pod. Check out Andy and Steven's podcast. They do a good job covering the team from more of a fan perspective than I do. I have credentials. Yeah. I'm around the team a lot more, but it's good to get a step back and get a different perspective as well. So I would definitely add the Orlando Magic podcast to your podcast lineup or podcast schedule. I don't know how people listen to podcasts. I know how I listen to podcasts, but I listen to far too many podcasts. So I don't think my listening habits are any indication. But if you are so inclined, I would also encourage everyone to subscribe to the Locked On Magic podcast.
Oh yeah,
on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the fun places that you can download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at philiprr_omd. That's philiprr_omd. And, of course, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Magic, as well as Orlando Magic Daily at omagicdaily. Before we close out, any last words, Andy and Steven?
Let's all prove it. Yes. My final say.
This is the Prove It podcast.
Yeah,
I think we proved on this podcast that we will definitely do this again sometime soon. Hopefully,
dude, this is fun. Sure. This was definitely fun, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully all the listeners enjoyed it as well. On behalf of Andy and Steven on the Orlando Magic podcast, on behalf of myself, Philip Rossman Reich of Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, I will see you all again tomorrow on another episode of Locked On Magic.
Just two guys and we're having a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. Just two guys and we're having a good time. Having a good time.
And boom goes the dynamite.